listener-supported independent music radio, WNRN. I'm Desiree Moses, coming to you live from Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden in Richmond. I am so thrilled to be joined by Jess and Holly of Lucius. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And then can you each introduce yourselves so everyone in Radio Land knows who's talking?
Yeah, good luck with that one.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Holly. All
right. The new album is Second Nature. When I first saw that it was co-produced by Brandi Carlile and Dave Cobb, I assumed it was going to be an Americana record. Mm-hmm. But, you know, definitely leaned more, just more dancey and upbeat. And talk about the genesis of the sound of the record.
Yeah, really, Dave did have a strong vision for after seeing us live at Brandi's festival in Mexico. And he really wanted to make a disco record. And we're like, we kind of just liked the juxtaposition of these, like, traditionally maybe folk producer and singer-songwriter, you know, doing something out of their zone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were excited by it, and we were excited by it because of how excited they were about it. So it was a really amazing sort of meaning of the minds and of the worlds. You know, we've always sort of never stayed in one lane as right. far as our music's concerned, so it wasn't sort of out of left field for us to do something like that, but we liked the company that we kept.
Yeah. Were there any songs that you'd been thinking about for this record that then once you landed on the sound you thought, it doesn't necessarily fit, we might need to save this one for the next time?
Well, we had started writing for this record before we even knew the record was going to happen. And basically, we had started writing right before lockdown. And then lockdown happened. And then we just wrote and wrote and wrote. We had about, you know, 50 songs that didn't make the record, literally. But, so I think, you know, we just, because of the nature of not knowing when we were going to get back to it, when we were going to be able to get into a studio and make a record, we just wrote so many songs. By the time we came to the, you know, realization that, oh, we're going to make a disco record, we had things to choose from and things that kind of seemed to go together. So
in addition to recording your own record, you all now have just become known for all of your collaborations. So during this time too, so Brandi's co-producing your record, you're also on Brandi's record. You and Me on the Rock was a song that we loved that, you know, she said was sort of her nod to Joni Mitchell, and you all were on the track. Talk about that relationship you all have with Brandi and sort of what that friendship has been like for you all from an artistry standpoint.
Brandi's just such an inclusive, wonderfully supportive friend and peer. And you know, we've been fans of hers for a long time. But I can't remember when the first time we met, but the first time we really collaborated together, was at Newport. And, she came up and sang a song during our set, and it sort of, glued us together for life, I would say. After that, we toured together. We continued to collaborate together. And she's just one of those people who wants to lift up the people, the artists in her life, particularly women, and let them be seen and let them be heard and be a part of that. And it's just a really wonderful thing that I know that we're not alone in our gratitude for that.
Mm-hmm. And then Sheryl Crow, too, we have to give a nod to.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't y'all start recording or start writing songs at her house for this record?
Yeah, those were the couple of songs that we started writing right before lockdown.
Okay.
Yeah. We lockdown was announced basically when we were at her house and we had to fly back that day.
Yeah. We were in her living room when it was announced.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all sort of freaking out together.
Talk about a moment that glues you together for life,
yeah.
You know? Wow.
Absolutely.
So So set the scene for us. Were you all there already with the intention of starting the new record, or were you all just hanging out as friends and noodling around?
We were in Nashville writing.
Oh, okay.
We were there starting to work on a record that we didn't know, of which we didn't know
what it would be
or what it would sound like, but we just wanted to start writing, and the first two songs we wrote are two that we wrote in her living room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Jess and Holly of Lucius live on WNRN from Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden in Richmond. We're talking about their latest album, Second Nature, but their sophomore release, Wilda Woman, is celebrating a 10th anniversary this year. We're revisiting that record for a live performance of the track Go Home. Lucius live on WNRN.
Stuff with extra baggage. Lay me down to shut my eyes. Beaded gazes lead you nowhere, anyways. Press on my heart, I will say. Press on my heart, I will say.
Lucius live on WNRN, recorded at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden in Richmond. Their sophomore release, Wilda Woman, is celebrating a 10th anniversary. We just heard a live performance of the track Go Home. We're speaking with Jess and Holly of Lucius today. All right, you two. So you've released 4 albums in your own right as the group Lucius, but now you've almost become just as known for your collaborations. So we were talking about collaborating with Brandi Carlile and Sheryl Crow before, but I could go on. We're spinning a song by Jenny Lewis right now, and we were like, oh, that's Lucius in the background. You collaborated with The War on Drugs recently. It seems like you would get stretched thin pretty quickly. How do you decide who you're going to work with and which projects you're going to dedicate your time to?
Well, those in particular are good friends. Mm-hmm. War on Drugs were making their record with the same producer we had a longtime collaborator with, Sean Everett. And so we were sort of trading off days in the studio. And so, you know, Adam would come and play some synthesizer on our record, and then we would come and sing some backgrounds, and they had that song, yeah. I Don't Live Here Anymore, which is just
such a great tune. It's such a great recording. And they asked us to be a part of it. And yeah, I mean, it was, they're just great guys and so talented. But, you know, sometimes people hear us somewhere. Andrew Watt, who's a record producer, heard us at Desert Trip singing with Roger Waters, doing all the Pink Floyd stuff, great gig in the sky and whatnot, and called us to come and sing on an Ozzy Osbourne record. Mm-hmm. And so it's just it just, you know, people find us or hear about us. And what's cool is they really want us to be us on their records. You know, they hire us to really like sort of throw spaghetti at the wall and do our thing and sound like us, you know, which sets us apart from maybe traditional background singers, because we're just sort of automatic unison singers, harmony singers. So it's pretty cool. We've been able to live in so many different worlds mm-hmm. that way. You know, it was good to do the Pink Floyd thing for a little while, because we got to see the world in a different way and through someone else's eyes. But there's nothing like playing your own songs and having people sing along. And our audience they're just so wonderful and kind and generous and present. And we really missed that.
I can't imagine what it would be like to just spend an hour with Roger Waters. Is there any sort of lesson that you learned from him, or any big takeaway from from performing with him?
He has a memory of I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Loves a good joke.
A long joke. A
very long joke, yes. Very long.
You'll hear him at least three times. You can't believe that he's remembered those jokes that are that long. But, you know, he's really generous, and he's really good to his crew and band. And that was probably the greatest lesson. Just him really wanting to put on the greatest show every night. He watched the show after the show every night just to take notes and to make improvements. And he memorized every single crew member and band member's name, there were 150.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And absolutely. He'd hang out with the band after every show for hours.
In fact, before it was frowned upon if you didn't.
That's really nice to hear. It's always great, you know, as they say, when you meet your heroes and they turn out to be good people. The last thing I wanted to ask you all is about the costumes and the look. Your stage getup has been a through line throughout your career. So can you talk about the costumes and how that plays into your artistry and why that's an important part of your music?
We do it all ourselves. You know, there's been a few times where we've had help in sourcing, but mostly we do it ourselves. And we have a lot of fun with it. You know, we grew up listening to artists who dressed their sound, and it was theatrical, and you could escape to this world when you went to their concert. And that was having that sort of imaginative element that was not only like freeing for the audience and exciting for the audience, but also for ourselves to be able to connect automatically. We put our uniforms on mm-hmm. and we are one. And you know, when you hear us, we want you to see us that way too. So it's something that we care a lot about and have a lot of fun with. And sometimes we also just want to wear pajamas, but we've made this commitment. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I love that idea of just putting on your uniform. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for taking the time. Jess and Holly, Lucius, live on WNRN from Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden in Richmond. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We're going out with a special live performance of Lucius's newly announced song, Stranger Danger, recorded live at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden for WNRN.
Money's looking green. impressions of the field at one on. Started the ceiling.